Good morning, everyone. It's Dave Weiner here. It's Thursday, October 15th, 2015. And today I want to talk a little bit about software design and how there are always trade-offs, and users and developers have to look at these things quite differently. And it leads to conflicts and disappointment, unhappiness. And I like to think perhaps it's avoidable, but maybe then again it's not. So the question was raised on Facebook by Josh Bernhoff, and he asks, let me just actually get this up here and so I can read the exact thing that he wrote here. Here's what he says. Like this post, if it annoys you that pressing return in Facebook sometimes generates a line break, but other times completes and posts what you've written. And this is something that I'm quite familiar with because I've been working on a piece of software that has this feature and in the exact same context that it appears in Facebook. So when Facebook, and I think Facebook is right, and I tried it all kinds of different ways, and I ended up making it work the way Facebook works. And the first thing to say is that Josh is really, he's right, that it is annoying, absolutely is annoying. Consistency in software is very important, and so when you're designing software, you try to be consistent wherever possible. And I have to add that at the end because it's, you know, if you were a baseball player, you'd say, well, I want to hit a home run every time I come to the plate, so I hit a home run whenever possible. You have to add that because the truth is that a really great baseball player only even gets a hit 3 times out of 10. I mean, 300 batting average is considered incredible. It's great. Most players never get there in their entire careers. A good baseball player is somewhere between 200 and 300. And there are players that start on teams that don't even get on base 2 times out of every time they go to the plate. So you try to be consistent when you can, but it's totally impossible to do that because there aren't enough keys on the keyboard to be consistent in all the different places you want to be. And so you try to create something that flows well and something that works in most circumstances. And one of the values is what we call the element of least surprise, so that the software does what you think it should do as often as possible, so that you don't end up like deleting something when you intended to create something. and those are the kinds of things, by the way, that you make sure the software never does. I mean, deleting things requires confirmation and all kinds of, there are just all kinds of sort of rules about how this stuff works. And I've been doing this for a very long time, and I've always been striving to make easy-to-use software, and I've disappointed people a lot. I mean, I remember my first experience with this, with confronting my fallibility on this, was in, I'm going to say, 1981. I had developed a piece of software, one of my first outliners, and I was telling everybody, hey, this thing's really easy to use. I've been really hacking it, making this thing really easy. And it's totally easy, you know, easy, easy. I just use that word all over the place because that was my focus, I mean, always. And so one of my friends said, well, if it's so easy, let me use it. It didn't take me. So he actually sat down in front of the computer and I put the software on the screen and realized that it didn't say a thing to him, and he had no idea what to do. And I said, you need to get up, and I need to go back to the drawing board. And ever since that day, I've been living with that reality that people confronted with my software very often do not know what to do with it. So that's the first thing you have to try to do in a piece of software, is make that invitation very clear. So what you would do there is put up a box on the screen and put a what's called a caret, C-A-R-E-T, in the first position on that in the box, and have it flash very gently. And that says to people, this is a good place to type. We've gotten even better tools for communicating that, a thing called a placeholder, which is a little piece of gray text, very light. It's so as not to be confused with something that the user types that suggests to them that this would be a good place to type. And in fact, that's pretty much exactly what my software says. It says, actually, it's cute. It says, obviously, this is a good place to type something. And by the way, humor often, it creates a human relationship between the designer and the user. It says, I'm thinking about you, and so I thought I would tell you a little joke here to sort of, you know, let you know that I know you're there, and I understand that you're a human being, and it's even worse than it appears. I know that I've let you down right from the very beginning, because this thing is confusing. But it's like playing a game. And if you try something out and you get a positive response from the computer, that encourages you to try something more. So when you use Facebook, and now I'm going to go, let's see, to the start screen. If you were a first-time user and you had never used Facebook before, I think this would be very confusing. But right in the middle of the screen near the top is a little gray piece of text that says, what's on your mind? So what I would do is I'd click in that box to see what happens. And when I do, it slides down a little bit, and there's the caret. It's sitting there flashing. And it says, okay, type. So I start typing. And now the question is, what should the return key do? And they came up with the correct answer. The correct answer is it should start a new line, because we're talking to somebody who immediately doesn't trust this. And if it were to save it at that point, that would not build trust, and it would be very confusing, because you wouldn't understand then, okay, how do I edit this thing? Because editing it is not easy. And it could be easier. There are ways to make it easier, but it's still, you better make it easy for the person to finish their thought and edit it, and then make posting there a little bit more difficult than starting a new line. You have to make, I mean, you're playing a very careful game here, because the goal in my game that I'm playing, like the baseball player that's aiming to hit a home run, is my home run here is you actually type in something that means something to you, and I don't get it wrong. And so in this mode, at this moment, return is it's the right answer. You're writing a blog post here is what you're doing, and in a blog post, the return starts a new line, and clicking the post button posts it. And we've decided not to argue about that anymore in the software design world. This is it. And remember, the big thing here is we have to build trust with you. And if you get a surprising, so could we make the return key accept the result? Well, I don't think that's what Josh is asking us to do anyway. If you were to ask Josh, okay, Josh, play software designer for a minute and make a choice. Which would be the result that you would like to see here? If he said the return should accept it, I believe that's the wrong choice for all the reasons that I just said. It would not build trust. It would be very hard to figure out at that point how to go edit the thing. And the user would be upset and probably isn't going to continue using the product, because that is the way people are. So our goal is to get you to use it. And let's not forget that. If you go hit the back button and feel, well, the software was easy to use, but it doesn't do anything I want to do, I lost. And so I have to make the return key start a new line there. There's no choice. So having typed the message, now the question is, all right, I'm going to read the comments. So it says something like, okay, there's, I'm going to find a post here that has some comments. Well, let's go to Josh's post because it has a bunch of comments on it. A lot of comments. He's good at generating discussions, and this post is no exception. So it says, let's see. Well, the comments are expanded, so I can just read them. I don't have to do anything. Didn't have to click anything. There are the comments. So now I see something that I'm no longer reading Josh's message. I'm now thinking like a commenter. A very different mode, because in order to get into the comments here, I had to do a little bit of exploring to get there. It was not the first thing I do. I had to go look for stuff to do here and to find the comments. So now the question is, all right, there's an outrageous, or no, there's a statement I really agree with. Let's try to be Facebook positive here. So I'm looking at it. It's Jeremiah saying, use shift return and it will soft break every time and not post. Was a good piece of information here. And I want to reply. And so there's a nice little link here that says reply. So I click it. And a box opens up at the bottom that shows me that my reply is going at the end of the list, which again, I think is the right choice. You know, in commenting software, and this is something, like I said, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. It's really fresh in my mind. And in commenting software, we've tended to put the most recent comment in first. But you get a very different result if you put the most recent comment in at the end. And what you then get is a sequence of thought from different people. And it kind of implies to you that you should read most of what other people have written before you write, because you're going in at the end, you're not going in at the top. And I think, and now here our goal is a little different, okay? Our goal isn't entirely to give you a great experience, it's to create discourse. It's to create respect. It's to create a reason to feel good about what's happening here on Facebook. Maybe it's even more idealistic than that. Maybe the designer of this software said, we want to solve problems here. We don't want to just give people a place to mouth off. And this is a very important point, we are creating a place for somebody to make a short thing, a little idea, not a big thing, because the big things go up at the top. And they require commitment from somebody to read all this stuff. Somebody who's commenting here that puts in five paragraphs worth of stuff, and there is a way, and Jeremiah is telling us what the way is, use shift return, or actually I think command return also works here for that. Any modifier plus return will actually allow you to create a new line within a comment. But pressing return in a comment ends the comment. And I think that's the right choice, because what you want to do is encourage people to make short, quick statements and not go into speech mode here, because we've been down that road, and people who leave speeches in comment threads have other motives other than just getting a little idea in there. They need to be heard, and they're using your flow, the flow that was created by the person who wrote the post, to be heard. And in a way, a long comment is very much like spam, because if they wanted to, they could just go ahead and post this in their space, which on Facebook would mean in their timeline at the top of their page. But the reason why they're putting in a comment probably is because nobody's reading their stuff, because also very likely they're ranters and they're trolls and they're, you know, if you're running a discourse system on the scale of Facebook, you are deliberately trying to set things up so it disempowers trollers. So you're trying to give everybody the tools they need to avoid the trollers, otherwise they would completely dominate this world. And I think they've done a really incredible job, given the tools that they have, to not create rules, but to sort of create little incentives for people to behave well in this space. And as a result, sometimes you even get intelligent discourse inside of a Facebook comment. Not always, but sometimes. So that's why when you press return in a comment, it accepts. And that's why it works the way it works. Yeah, it would be great if it were consistent, if return always did exactly the same thing. But in software design, like in almost everything else, there are trade-offs. You know, go back to the baseball player standing at the plate. If he makes a huge swing, like really puts his whole body into it, he's going to strike out a lot more often than he would be if he just lays down a bunt. Now, batters almost never miss bunts. Watch that in baseball. But the ball isn't going to go very far. So that's a trade-off. If you want accuracy, you have to give up something. You have to give up distance. You have to give up power. You're going for a much more modest result. That's your trade-off. If you want to hit a home run, you're going to strike out a lot because you're going to have to take a big swing, and that makes it really easy for the pitcher to blow one by you. A guy who hits home runs is not only very powerful, but has incredibly good intuition about where that ball's going to be. But they still strike out a lot. So software design is not simple, you know, and we would all get along better if users understood that. That if you're using a piece of software that you feel anticipates your needs or just thinks, a lot of times when you really hit it, when you have a really good piece of software, and I've been lucky, I have actually gotten to this place a number of times in my career. What people say is it thinks like I think. What that means is we had good trade-offs, and we made good choices, and it sort of guessed, we kind of guessed what would actually work for you, and we got it right. And I guess that's about it. That's what I have to say. Software design is not easy. Thank you for listening.